morning, Alliance Christian Center.
Good morning.
You know, God gave me a message about complacency. And I'm telling you, this was kind of a struggle. You know, he kind of gave me the outline of it months ago. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, as I started, like, preparing it and kind of just feeling the conviction and feeling God speak to my heart about it, I kind of decided, you know what, this is too deep. You know, this is too much. You know, this is above, this message is kind of like above my pay grade or something. You know, I just kind of felt attacked about it, and I just decided, you know, I can't do this. I can't talk about complacency. This is too hard. I've never preached on a Sunday morning, so there's no way I can even attempt it. And so I decided, you know what, I just got to find another topic, you know, something else. You know, I love to teach, and I love the Word of God, so I thought it'll be easy, you know. And I couldn't find anything. And I looked at all my favorite verses, everything. You know, then I finally just picked something, and I started preparing another sermon. And I'm telling you, you know what happened? I hit a brick wall, you know, with this second sermon. And it was like God was telling me, you know, Micah, I already gave you a sermon over here, you know. And I was trying to get away from it because of my own lack of confidence. So I am going to preach about complacency today. All right? I'm going to do my best. And I am so thankful that this isn't about me, you know. This isn't about Micah and how well Mike is going to do, you know. This is about the Word of God and what He wants to speak to us today, all right? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the most complacent church in the Bible, the Church of Laodicea, and some of you are familiar with that church. And before we do that, what I want to do is look at the most on-fire church in the Bible, okay? And that would be in the book of Acts. So we're going to start out there, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And this is the day of Pentecost. In this chapter, the Holy Spirit had been poured out, and this first church started. You know, this first church started. And, oh, there's so much you could say about this passage, and so I'm just going to kind of cruise through it. I could talk about this passage for an hour, but I'm just going to kind of hit a couple things about it. Okay, so they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions, and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Man, these people were lit up for Jesus. You know, you see this, and it's like, it almost seems too extreme, you know. Like, I love this passage, and there's so much you can pull out of this. And sometimes when I read it, I get hung up on verse 45, you know. And they began selling their property and possessions, and it's like, you know, they did what? You know, and it's like, Lord, you know, I don't know. You know I need to be maybe in prayer more and fellowship more, but, I mean, not my stuff, you know. Should I go sell my stuff? Is that what you're asking? You know, so there's kind of that verse always kind of brings out this conviction in me because it reveals something in my heart, how much my stuff I elevate it, you know. But, you know, maybe it didn't really mean that. You know, maybe it meant something completely different. You know, let's look at the Greek. You know, how's it read in Greek, you know? Because property, you know, property could be my house, and it could also be my old mower that I don't use anymore, you know? So, okay, now that feels better. Maybe these people were just kind of selling their junk, okay? Maybe it was garage sale week, okay? No, that's not what happened. They were actually selling their property. You know, and that's just amazing. You just see this, you see this church, and they were just sold out. You know, we serve this God who provides. He doesn't want us to be without a house, okay? He wants us to have what we need. But sometimes we put these things above him. The kingdom was in their midst, and they were sold out to it. You know, the kingdom's in our midst today. Do you know that? You know, Jesus said, it's one of my favorite kingdom verses, the kingdom of God is in your midst. You know, there's all this, the kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field and all these things. But I love that. The kingdom of God is in our midst today, right here. And he wants to speak to us. And he wants to convict us. And he wants to draw us back to him, to a closer relationship. So have you ever been around someone that's like real on fire for God and just always being loud about it? We'll call this person Bob, okay? Every church has a couple Bobs, all right? Someone that's like, Bob, chill, you know? I know you're excited about Jesus, but I've only had one cup of coffee. You know, just wait a second, you know? It's like every church kind of has these people, you know, that are just, they're really on fire. All they want to do is talk about the Lord. And the funny thing is, or I should say the disconcerting thing is that these Bob characters, they kind of stick out sometimes. I'm not talking about out in the world. I'm talking about in our church. These guys kind of stick out. And it's like, you know, what's wrong with this picture? You know, you take Bob and you stick him in that church, you think Bob's going to stick out? No, he's going to blend right in. You know, God has this, he has this plan for this body of believers. He wants a church that is just on fire, just sold out. You know, and it's like so often we just kind of, our Christian walk is like, it's like a patch on an old pair of jeans, you know? Just kind of something extra in our life, you know? And there's, when I look back at my life, I see seasons where that it was just a patch. Time in the Word was something I just did once in a while, you know? And it's because of complacency. It's because we slip into this. So I'm going to get right to this, all right? This is a hard set of verses coming up. And it's for all of us. You know, there's some people that might be so unbelievably complacent that, you know, they're on the verge of losing their salvation. Others here might be just a little bit complacent. But this message is for all of us, all right? So we're going to look at the church of Laodicea. We just looked at the church of Acts, you know, this on-fire church. Now we're going to look at Laodicea. And this is Revelation 3, 14 through 21. Man, that's some good water. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of read this whole passage in bulk real quick, just so we kind of get a feel for it. And then I'm going to kind of jump up, and we're going to kind of look at verse by verse and see what God speaks, all right? To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God says this. In other words, Jesus says this. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. I'm just going to take a minute and pray real quick. Lord, I just thank you for your word, Father, that it is truth. I just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts. I thank you. I have a plan, Lord God. You have a plan for us today, right now. You want to speak to our hearts right now through this message. I just pray that you would give us ears to hear, Lord. In your name, amen. Okay, that calmed my nerves a little bit, I think. Okay, let's start verses 15 and 16, okay? I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I mean, that's heavy, isn't it? This is like a rejection scenario going on right here. And when I read this verse, it kind of gives me a lump in my throat, you know? Almost offensive. Does this verse hurt your feelings? No? My advice is let it hurt your feelings right now, okay? Allow that. Let it pierce your heart, okay? And there's all kinds of controversy around this verse, you know. There's all different, even especially with theologians, and you start getting into different doctrines. And I did a little bit of research on this verse, and I just couldn't believe how many different opinions there were. It's like people try to just, there was a lot of people that just try to skip over it. You know, they say, well, no, that verse, this was only for the Laodiceans back 2,000 years ago. This has nothing to do with us right now. Or, once saved, always saved. Nope, doesn't apply. Cross it out, you know. Or that whole spit out, you know. They say, well, that doesn't mean losing your salvation. It means God is really disappointed. He's really sad. That's what it means, you know. And so there's all these things. And maybe even in this room there's people that might have different opinions. What does that really mean, you know? Because it sounds really important. It sounds really important. And maybe there's different opinions. Okay, I'm going to bring everyone back. I want to get all of our opinions the same real quick, all right? And this is really easy. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to quickly look, what is the heart of God in this verse? And what is the heart of man in this verse, okay? So the heart of man is that we, as men and women, as Christians, have a tendency towards complacency sometimes, right? Raise your hand if you've ever been complacent in your walk with God. Let's be honest here. Man, I have. You know, it's something we go through. So that's the heart of man there, okay? And what's the heart of God in this? Well, it's really simple. God doesn't want us to be complacent. Not even a little bit. So are we all together here? Okay, and we're going to go from here because this is a difficult verse, but I don't think there should be any confusion about something that sounds that important, right? God wants to call us out. He wants to call us away from complacency, even a little bit of complacency. So we're in agreement. Let's continue on. Verse 17. Verse 17. There it is. Okay. Okay. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This kind of just gets worse here, okay? Maybe that one put you over the top, you know. Maybe now you've kind of checked out, you know. Let's key in on this for a second, all right? And maybe you're sitting there and you think, well, man, I'm really glad so-and-so is here today to hear this, you know. This is for everyone in the room, okay? And I'm so happy for that, you know, myself included. The conviction I felt and the things that God did in my heart when I put this together and kind of searched his face for what he wants to do in this passage, it's amazing. You know, these people, they were just fine and dandy, right? See that attitude there? Just consumed by the things of the world, you know? Now, they still went to church, okay? This letter was written to the church. It was to be read at the church. So they had a little church on the side, right? Okay? But they were completely self-reliant. Completely self-reliant. They had need of nothing. We're going to call that the self-life. Right? Have you ever struggled with the self-life? You know, this is my deal, my plan, my life, my work, my this, my that. And now I know I need Jesus, but I would just like a little bit, you know, just a little bit of Jesus. Maybe just enough to escape hell. Got to have that fire insurance. You know, I talked to a lady on the street. It was like a year ago, and I was sharing the gospel, and she was really excited to say, you know, I'm already a Christian. And I was like, oh, that's great. But something in my spirit was like, you know. And so I kind of pressed a little harder, and, you know, she had gotten saved. She had gotten saved, and she told me about it. And what happened is she went to some service somewhere and said a prayer 15 years ago. And from that time until the time I talked to her, she had never cracked her Bible open. She had never gone back to church. She had never prayed. She had nothing to do with following Christ. I mean, she really had to think. It was like, even to kind of tell me what happened, it was such a distant memory already, you know. The time I got saved, you know. It's like she's out to sea with sharks around her little raft. You know, with the lifeguard on the shore, like waving a yellow flag, and she's oblivious. And there's kind of this attitude, this deception, like, I only have to do so much. And that's a really extreme example. And the Laodiceans are an extreme example. But there's this attitude that I only have to do so much. And we try to look for ways to kind of, I mean, I see that in my life, kind of look for ways to do the very least for Jesus. You know, and that's what he's calling us out of, this complacency, this lukewarmness. You know, so I guess the question is, you see this church and you see Jesus up there. He pointed out our problem, complacency and lukewarmness. And then he gave us the reason for how we got there. Because sometimes when you're lukewarm, maybe you look back and it's like, well, 2 months ago I wasn't lukewarm. And now I'm, what happened? Well, Jesus explains what happens. We start putting things above him. It becomes the self-life, okay? And we all struggle with it. You know, you want to hear my story of my struggles with complacency? Well, I'm not going to tell you, because we don't have 3 hours, okay? It's something we all got to deal with, and we all got to face up to. So I've got to figure out where I'm at here. Okay, so the question is, what are the things, and it's different for everyone. We're all coming from different places, different directions, and a lot of us are coming from a different place in our walk with God, okay? So I understand that. And maybe this is more about money and material things here. Let's look at our hearts, and let's I want everyone to be honest with themselves in your mind right now and think about those things that you elevate above Jesus, all right? You know, for some people it is money, material things. I've been there. You know, I have a business and I have this my business mind's always like spinning, you know. And that's good. It's not that that's bad. But it's like sometimes I get so obsessed with the business, and so many times I gotta be careful. If you struggle with this materialistic thing, you know, if you see your life and you see it above Jesus, I would encourage you to read Philippians 3, Matthew 6. I mean, those are the verses, kind of the chapters I go back to when I gotta put myself in check. Or maybe, you know, maybe just your job in general. Or your time. You know, this is a big one here. You know, we're busy, you know. Things to do every day. Wake up in the morning and you see there's not enough hours. You know, and then what does Jesus get? What does he get? You know, he kind of gets the last crumbs of your time at the end of the day or the end of the week or none at all. Well, I got church on Sunday. I got that 2 hours or that hour and 10 minutes, you know, if you're late. Yeah, I'm going to pick on you people. Okay. But it's like we kind of just give him the bare minimum. And I've fell into this so many times, and he's calling us away from that. You know, maybe it's a sin that you're holding on to, you know, that you put above him. Maybe you say, well, if I could just be set free from this sin, then this one sin, it's just this one thing I got. Well, then maybe I'll get my stuff together with God, you know. Well, one thing I know, when he walked out of that tomb, he set you free from your sin, okay? The problem is, we want to hold on to it, right? We're all free. How bad do we want to walk away, you know? How bad do we want that, you know? I've had times in my life where I was okay with it, you know. Jesus is calling us out of that. He's calling us out of complacency. Maybe it's fear. Are you guys thinking of the things in your life right now? This is important. Bring them to the front of your mind, because we all have different things. You know, maybe it's this need for affirmation. You know, that's a trap. You know, the desire to be liked all the time, you know. Facebook is a $700 billion company, you know. It's like Jesus wants to be our number one. If we're spending all of our extra time, you know, in the social thing that goes on, we put that above him. We put that above him where he doesn't get any time. And all of our Facebook friends, you know what I mean? I mean, so that's one thing. All of us have this stuff, all right? We all have this stuff, and the Lord is calling us away from those things today, all right? And it's like, okay, what do I do, you know? Ask forgiveness, you know, try a little harder. Yeah, okay, you know, maybe a little more church, you know? You know, because you kind of set goals, you know, you get convicted and you set goals, you know? We're going to go to verse 18 here, and Jesus has some advice what we should do. We know about the problem. We see how we got there. You know, that putting everything else above him leads to complacency. Would you guys agree? Yep. And now Jesus has a solution. He has some advice, okay? I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Gold refined by fire. What is that? You know, it's kind of one of those weird things. Okay, Jesus, you know, you're offering something, okay? And then it gets all wordy, you know? Just be straight. What is it, you know? Gold refined by fire. And I'll admit I kind of tripped over this part when I was studying, and it really took some time with the Lord and meditation, and he revealed some really cool things to me about this gold refined by fire. If you kind of just use the language and start doing some cross-referencing, you know, you'll see a couple things. You know, James chapter 1, you know, the testing of your faith, and also Peter, 1 Peter 1:7. So I guess you could say it speaks to faith that is tested by fire, okay? That's kind of the first thing I came to. Next slide. So faith tested by fire, 1 Peter 1:7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that kind of makes sense, right? Gold refined by fire, you know, a faith that's tested, you know. And I think it does speak to that. But you kind of look at it and almost like that idea is good and it's there, but I guess in the context of the way the language of that whole Revelation passage goes, like, okay, he's offering me faith tested by fire. Okay, yeah, I 100% believe it speaks to that. And as I was meditating on this, I got stuck in a box because I wanted it to be one thing, gold refined by fire. You know, if I had to pick one thing, what is it, you know? And God started showing me so much. It was just so incredible. It speaks to a couple different things, all right? So the next thing, and keep in mind, this is what he's offering us today, okay? And so this part of this message, listen to this. It's awesome. Ephesians 1:8. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. So I think it speaks to purpose. Gold refined by fire. His purpose for our life is what he wants to show us. We convince ourselves, you know, that our purpose for our life, my purpose, Micah's purpose for Micah's life is pretty good, probably better than God's. You know, we do that. You know, what God has for us, the plans, the incredible plans that he has for us as a church and as believers, and we kind of get caught up in our own plan. I think this gold refined by fire, I think it also speaks to the satisfaction of knowing Jesus. In Psalm 16, David says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Gold refined by fire. Jesus, he's offering on. You guys feel this, all right? You feel this? What he's offering? Purpose, relationship. He has a plan for us. He has a plan here. He wants to speak to us. He wants to draw us back. Fullness of joy. I just love that. You know, I'm not talking about joy when the Amazon box shows up, okay? This is different. It's deep. It's satisfying. It's lasting, you know. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. You know, I can go on a roller coaster. I love roller coasters. You know, that's so pleasurable for me, you know. That first drop, you know, I love it. And then it's over, you know. God has something so much better. This satisfaction of knowing him, you know, it's gold refined by fire. I also think it just speaks to selling out for Jesus. Acts chapter 2, you know, that first group of believers, they were just so sold out. I love John 12, verse 3. It says, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. It's like that whole scene, you know, it's kind of undignified, isn't it? Picture this lady with her hair. It's like, okay, what a weirdo. You know? You know what? This Mary of Bethany, she was changed in the presence of a holy God. And she didn't care about dignity here, did she? She didn't care that that vial of perfume was worth $50,000. She didn't care. You see, she brought the very most that she could possibly bring to Jesus. The very most. And that just convicts me. We give him so little sometimes, and we slip into apathy. And he wants the most. And the most that he's offering back is he wants to change our life. You know, he wants a bunch of Bobs running around here, being annoying because they're so excited about Jesus. You know, his kingdom is in our midst today. You know, his kingdom didn't pause because of COVID, okay? I mean, you look at churches half empty around the country, and it's like, okay, God, what's going on here, you know? Is God on pause during COVID? Are you sure? He's not waiting for the virus curve to flatten, you know? Is his kingdom on pause? No, it's not. We're on pause, you know? Man, he wants to do something, you know. During this COVID thing, you know, it's like I would, almost like you have this ad, like, God, what are you doing? You know, God, hey, see what's going on down here? Church, everyone's leaving church. You know, and God's, his response is, you know, hey, guys, what are you doing? Right. You know, it's like we whisper about a move of God or like revival or something, you know, like, kind of talk about it in the back room, and we all want something like that to happen. But we just kind of want it to show up, you know? We don't pray for it. Sounds exciting. We don't really go out and do anything about it, you know? Man, he wants a church that's on fire. He is just challenging my heart, and he's calling us out. You know, I'm going to wrap it up here in a second, but back to Revelation 17 and 18, you kind of see something going on here. You know, he just said we're poor, blind, and naked, right? And then he wants us to buy something, you know? It's like, come on, you know? This verse, this passage, you know, I mean, what does that mean, you know? We're broke. And he's offering us this gold refined by fire, you know. Let's think of it like this. It's a trade, okay? All that stuff that we were talking about earlier, the things that we put above Jesus in our life, and we all kind of brought those things into our mind, our own personal things. It's time to trade up. That's what he's asking. Time to trade those things in. You know, repentance is, it means turning. It's not a quarter turn, you know. It's a full turn. You're leaving something behind when you turn. When you change your mind for Jesus and you turn from something, you're leaving that thing behind. You know, the language in this passage is really cool. It really kind of makes you think about the transaction part of it, you know. God wants to make a transaction with us today. He has something for us today that is so much better, and he wants our all. He wants to bring us back. He wants us to catch fire. That Acts chapter 2 passage, it shouldn't look so weird with all that extreme stuff going on. So that's the message today. We're going to take some time. I just kind of feel like this isn't something that we should put on the back burner, okay? Yeah, I know, I need to get rid of that stuff. I need to give Jesus my all, and maybe in a couple months. Right? We do that. We see a problem in our heart and we say, I'll take care of that at some point. And next thing you know, you get colder and colder and colder. And so I want to take a little bit of time, just right at the, I know we don't normally do this. I just want to spend 5 minutes in prayer, okay? We're going to have a little bit of music. Let's give him our all. Let's give him what he deserves. This God that created the universe and holds every next breath of ours in his hands. This God that wants to just change our life and turn us upside down for him is calling us back, calling us to do something, to turn. So I want everyone to stand. If this spoke to you, you know, this altar is open, okay? Come down, get on your knees. Put a stake in the ground today. Say, Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of giving you the leftover garbage of my life. If that makes you uncomfortable, stay in your seat, but do some business with God for the next couple minutes, all right?